This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
It's 8:06. I'm Katie Hyde from the Michigan Talk Network, filling in on the Steve Gruber Show this week. And before that long break, we were talking to Herb London. He's the president of the London Center for Policy Research, and he was kind enough to wait through that long break. And Herb, welcome back to the program.
Well, happy to wait.
You were mentioning before the break about metadata. This is a key term that we heard last night in the debates. Can you tell us what it is and what it isn't?
Well, it's the collection of all of the telephone calls and all of the communications that occur nationwide. Again, I wouldn't know that you made the telephone call. All I have is all of these numbers that are listed. And then what I would attempt to do is try to put together an algorithm that would suggest Party A is calling someone in Yemen on a regular basis, and the person in Yemen turns out to be someone who has ties to terrorists. And the more information of that kind I can obtain, the more likely it is that I can not only trace the terrorist network, but in fact do something to monitor what. This kind of metadata allows you to not only penetrate the terrorist network, but allows you to go over that historical period. You can start to see trend lines. In the past, you were permitted to do this over a five-year period. Now the NSA can only do it over a year-and-a-half period. So we've cut back dramatically. I'm not sure that's a good idea. When we consider the fact that we have terrorists who are in the United States at the moment, we know that the FBI has said there are at least 900 that we are tracking that are ISIS sleepers here in the United States. We have to do everything in our power to make sure that they do not launch an attack. And one of the ways to do that is to monitor these telephone calls. Now, the civil libertarians, of course I am one as well, would say, look, we do not want to interfere with privacy. But what they do not understand is that when you have all of this metadata, I can't specifically say Katie is calling someone on the 15th of the month or the 17th of the month. I don't know that. All I have is all of this data. Then I start to see patterns in the data, and when I get patterns in the data, that is when I try to see whether, in fact, there are ties to terrorist networks.
I think that's so important that's what you mentioned, because I think that's what a lot of Americans are saying. Like, these are my private thoughts. These are my private calls. I don't want something embarrassing that I sent to my boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife or whatever. Although if they track my phone, they'd find all these texts to my husband. It's your turn to get the kids.
But I mean, I understand the concern, and I understand that there is a kind of alarmist view that now the government is acting like Big Brother. And we've got an Orwellian situation on our hands where the government is now insinuated into every aspect of our lives. Well, that's not what megadata is all about. If you were to see all of these numbers, they wouldn't make sense to you at all. And you wouldn't be able to say, oh, that's my friend Joan, that's my friend Mary. You wouldn't be able to do that. There's absolutely no way you could do that. But as I said, if you are clever enough and you start to see patterns and you understand the algorithms that are now imposed by the intelligence community, then you understand how we manage to track these terrorist organizations. When Donald Trump said last night, well, we've got to shut down the internet and then we'll penetrate, you know, we start infiltrating. Well, that's silly. We're not going to shut down the internet. But we should be in the position of knowing enough about internet connections so that we can start to see patterns. And as a result of those patterns, we can start monitoring the affairs of people who want to do harm to the United States.
Well, it sounds like metadata is a huge piece for defeating ISIS. I had a guest on earlier this week that says it's not if, but it's when we defeat ISIS. He's not obviously sure of when we will do that, but he says afterwards, we need to have a plan in place about what we do over there. We can't just pull out and leave. What are your ideas about what should be in place after ISIS is defeated?
Well, look, ISIS, we're fighting against ISIS. We're fighting against RAF. If ISIS is defeated, there will be some other radical group. Keep in mind, we have been at war with al-Nusra. We have been at war with al-Qaeda. We have been at war with the Muslim Brotherhood. Now we're fighting the ISIS. I mean, what you're going to find radical Islamic groups. What we have to do is to understand what it is and who it is we're fighting against. The important thing to understand is that, as President al-Sisi of Egypt said, when he made his courageous speech at Al-Azhar, which is the center of theological thought in the Sunni world, he said, there is a violence from within our religion. We've got to cope with it. And he said at the end of his speech, we need a revolution from within. When that speech was given, this was like Martin Luther speaking to the Catholic Church. We should have said at that moment, this is important. This is extraordinary. We have an ally that wants to deal with this issue. Not all Muslims are violent. But there is a violence within the religion that has to be dealt with. And there are people like al-Sisi who want to do so. They're our allies. These are people who we should count on. That speech should have been plastered in every single newspaper and in every media organ in the United States. It's among the most important speeches given in the last 100 years and received scant attention in the United States. If I were to ask you about it and say, Katie, tell me what was in that speech, you would be hard-pressed to do so.
Agreed.
And yet it was as important as any speech that's been given over the last 100 years, and my feeling is this country knows little about it because we have to find allies in that part of the world who want to deal with this whole question of why is there violence within this religion? Why is there an imperial dimension to this religion? Why is there a desire to use the religion, use the violence within the religion to expand its scope? These are questions that can only be answered by people within the Muslim faith. And as I said, not every Muslim is violent, but there is a violence within the religion that has to be dealt with.
I think you make a good point. I have friends who were born here. They're working over in Kenya now, and they said that same thing about our media. They said, you are not covering the things that we're hearing over here, and that Egypt speech was one of them.
Well, I happened to meet President Sisi. And I must say that he's a very impressive guy. Now, it's true that there has been a shutdown of many of the journalistic organs in the country. And he's fighting a war internally against the Muslim Brotherhood, and they have a big bullseye on his back. But at the same time, it's important to understand that he is a potential ally in this war against radical Islam. We have to find allies of that kind. The King of Bahrain, after the speech was given by al-Sisi, said the same thing. And, of course, the King of Jordan has been saying the same thing. Why isn't the American public aware of that? Why aren't these people elevated to positions of real authority? And we say, you know something, these are the voices we want to hear from. It's not merely the radicals we want to hear from. It's not the Baghdadis, who is, of course, the leader of ISIS. We want to hear from those people who represent voices of interest and reason within this community.
Well,
who are doing something about the extremism within the religion.
Herb, we are so thankful that you have brought that to our attention. Herb London, he's president of the London Center for Policy Research. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this morning.
Pleasure to be with you. All the best to you. And happy and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. It's 14 after the hour. I'm Katie Hyde, filling in on The Steve Gruber Show.